Welcome to Abound in Hope, a podcast from Imprint Church. Our goal is to help you see how the gospel of Jesus Christ intersects with our daily lives and compels us toward gratitude and generosity.
Well, welcome back to Abound in Hope. We're grateful to have you here today, and thanks for joining us. It's a beautiful day where we're sitting. I don't know how the weather is when you're going to hear this, but we are grateful to be inside. My name is Darren Larson, and I'm here with
Tom Regan,
Tom McGregor,
Mary Faw.
And we are glad to have that last voice with us today. And let me explain why we have Mary Faw with us today. Mary is a wonderful gal, and we are grateful for her voice today and being with us on our Abound in Hope podcast. So May is Mental Health Awareness Month. I know there's like a month for everything, it feels like in this day and age, but this one sits near and dear a little bit to Mary's heart and our heart as a church, because we want to be a church that allows people to come in and to be who they are, not try to be someone they're not, and to bring their whole selves before the Lord and bring their whole selves before the church community, and not try to hide behind whether it's a sin issue, which is on one level, and another level may be a mental health issue that they feel ashamed about and don't want to bring up. And so in some ways, what we're doing in this podcast right now is that we are trying to bring some awareness to the idea of mental health being a significant part of the complexity of being a human in the world and in the church as well, and for Imprint Church. And so, for the next two podcasts, we're going to cover the idea of mental health with Mary. And Mary has a bit of experience with kind of considering mental health, prayerfully considering how it affects the church and theology. And so she has a unique voice in this. And so I
asked
her,
can we throw in here, though, that Mary's been a part of Imprint Church for quite some time? So not everyone listening may know that she's a member of Imprint Church.
That's right.
So and we're happy about that.
That's correct. And Mary's also been a BSF teacher for years and years. How long have you been doing that, Mary?
You know, I'm retired now, so.
Oh, but you did it for a long time. Is that right?
Kind of in and out. Two separate stints, yes.
That's so amazing. Yeah. Yes. And yes, she's been a part of Imprint Woodinville for years. And her and Ken are some of my favorite people. Really grateful for them. So Mary, tell us a little bit about you. Tell us a little about your experience with mental health and what you hope to accomplish in these.
Yes. Well, thank you for inviting me. I just want to start out by saying that I am not a mental health counselor or a therapist, and I really have no background in mental health at all. But about 10 years ago, mental illness invaded my world because it began to affect the life of someone I love. And I realized how little I really understood about the disease and how to navigate through it and what a journey with mental illness really looks like. And so I began to grapple with how to understand mental illness and to be there for someone who's walking through it and to look at what a journey through mental illness entails. So I've learned that it's unexpected and not what anyone would choose. It's confusing. It's really difficult to understand. It's disorienting, dark, difficult, excruciatingly painful, isolating, debilitating, and that it's treatable. You know, in the church, we talk about physical illness and spiritual illness, sin, and we grapple with where God is in the midst of it and how we find hope in the good news of Jesus Christ. But I can't remember ever hearing a sermon or going to a seminar that addressed the topic of mental illness and grappled with where God was in the midst of it and how we find hope in the good news of Jesus Christ. It's like it's a silent disease in the church. And so I began to grapple with these issues and began to bring up the topic of mental illness in conversation. And you know what was really interesting? About two or three sentences into that conversation, almost without fail, the other person's eyes would get a certain look in them, and they would begin to share with me how their life or the life of someone they love has been affected by mental illness. And I have learned that mental illness is common, and the episodes of mental illness can be mild or they can be lifelong. Some statistics that I've learned: 46.4% of people in the U.S. have a lifetime prevalence of or experience mental illness sometime in their life.
Wow.
Pre-pandemic, in a 12-month period, 26.2% of the population in the United States, about one in four people, suffer from some form of mental illness.
Wow.
And just to put that in perspective, In a given year, it's between 5 to 20% of people who experience the flu. So even greater than a flu epidemic. Mm-hmm. And of that 26.2%, 22.3% reflect a severe case of mental illness. So that's approximately one in every 20 people.
Wow.
A recent CDC report tells us that during the COVID-19 pandemic, 40% of American adults reported struggling with mental health or substance abuse issues, and 11% self-reported that they struggled with suicidal thoughts.
Wow.
So that's like one in 10.
So it's jumped up a ton during the COVID pandemic as well, which is probably understandable, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. That was super helpful, Mary. Thank you for that. Even that beginning, that realizing how overwhelming mental illness really is. Those the descriptive words that you had for that were really clarifying. How about you guys, Tom? So you guys, have you guys dealt with experiences in with people in your lives who have had kind of mental health illness things?
Yeah, I had a relative, someone in our family who had severe mental illness, who actually had an untimely premature death as a result of that severe mental illness. So it was pretty significant in our family's life.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I have mental health concerns. I'm predisposed temperamentally to depression, and some of that is just physiologically, and some of that is mistakes that I made in my teens and 20s. Mm-hmm. But then also, I think, I've got some pretty significant mental health experience in my family of origin. Mm-hmm. And then also, probably the majority of my life as a pastor has been spent working with people that are working through mental health issues through some pastoral care stuff or through more formalized structures of addiction and recovery. And also I'm married to a counselor, so
which
that's pretty rad.
And we will get to addiction and substances later on this month, actually, in a few weeks here. And I think, McGregor, you're going to take the time.
Yeah, I'll take the lead on that.
Take the lead on that, which would be good. So what you guys are saying, and I think I understand this as well, is that mental health illness is pretty ubiquitous, isn't it? It seems to be in all ages. And I think that's probably one of the things we're trying to help people understand within the context of the church is if you're out there and you're listening to this podcast right now and you say, yeah, I kind of struggle with mental illness of some sort, whether that is in the form of anxiety, depression, or even something a little more severe than that, we would tell you, I think in general, you're okay. You're normal. This is something that happens.
We could take the stigma away.
Take the stigma. That's a better way to say that.
I have a quick suggestion, though. Because of the stigma, most people have no idea what mental illness is.
Yeah, that's great.
Maybe they might know, oh, depression is a mental health problem or anxiety or bipolar or whatever. But when we're talking about mental health and specifically about mental illness, what do we mean? Mm-hmm. Mary, do you have a definition that you think is helpful or a way of thinking about it?
I think it's something that affects how we think and how we feel in a way that allows us not to be able to live life in a healthy way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Debilitating is a word that I think of, when you think of mental, so maybe, I don't know, when we can say like mental health issues, mental illness, is there a distinction, Mary, that we should have in our minds about everyone has mental health issues that we deal with, but that may be different from mental illness? How do you see that?
Wow, I am not an expert, okay. But I think that's true. I mean, we all have mental health issues because we all live in a broken world, and we're all broken. I think mental illness, I think that's one of the hard things about it is it comes in so many different forms, and it can be mild or it can be really severe.
And this is probably something where we would say if you're struggling, it may be good to see a counselor who is trained professionally to diagnose, like, and be able to determine how severe is this, but, you know, based on their training. Whereas, you know, pastorally, like, that's, I'd be probably out of my league that I would be begin to then point people toward professionals.
Yeah. It was interesting. Years ago, I remember in a sermon that I had mentioned something, just almost a passing comment about how, if you're on medication for depression, you know, that's probably a good thing for you physiologically or whatever it might be. And I had a lady come up to me afterwards and she goes, I've never heard someone in the church say that even. Like, I didn't know it was okay. Mm-hmm. And I was like, well, if there's a physiological thing going on here, like, I'm not qualified to talk about that, but your medical practitioner, right, your counselor, your psychologist, right, is uniquely equipped to talk about that and to help you and to give you tools, right, to help
your
with that.
Brain is actually an organ, and there is definitely a mystery between where the brain ends and the mind and the soul spirit begins, right? But, like, I remember hearing the testimony of a guy who was a doctor, became a Christian. He was suicidal in medical school, and he's like, I knew everything that I needed to take. I had the pills in my hands. I was trained to know. I knew I could take my life, and, like, God saved him that night. And I remember he's speaking to a group of college students. I was in college at the time, and he said, what we don't often see in Christian circles is that the brain is an organ. Mm-hmm. And sometimes, like, when your kidney fails, like, there's no shame in treating your kidney, right?
Yeah.
But when your brain is failing in some way, the actual organ is failing in some way, and that actually then gets into your life and in your mental health, then somehow there's a stigma there. But sometimes the brain needs to actually be helped.
You know, that's interesting to think, just in terms of, back to the original question about in terms of physical illness, when our body starts to hurt or we can't move our arm or things aren't functioning as we're used to them functioning, we go see someone to help figure out the problem. And so I think the same in mental illness and in mood and in thinking and functioning.
I liked your definition, Mary, because it gave a sense of, like, something's, you know, it, something's not quite right. People see it, whatever it is. And there's a disconnect between the brain and how you're feeling and what is reality, you know? And so I appreciate what you said there. So I think, to keep the conversation moving along here, and because we've all kind of given the, we know how mental health has affected our lives and people around us, the question, but we've also said we're not experts here, so why are we even talking about it? Well, I think our comment is to go back to our whole reason of our podcast, which is how the gospel intersects our lives to create people who are grateful and generous disciples. And so the question I had for Mary was, or we had for Mary, was, how does the gospel and mental illness connect? What does that do? Because I don't necessarily think that we can answer the questions about whether you should be diagnosed or whether you should go see someone. But what we feel like we were equipped to answer a little bit is how the gospel speaks into mental illness. So I would just ask the question for Mary, like, what do you think when I ask you that question? What was your response to how the gospel intersects with mental illness?
Well, I think, you know, when I began to think about that, I had to ask myself, what does mental health look like? And so I went back to the Genesis account in creation to see what was God's design.
Yeah.
What was God's design for us? And I think you see in mental health that in creation, and that a mentally healthy person is a person who is in relationship with others. God made us with an identity that gives us, we're made in His image.
Yeah.
It gives us dignity.
Yeah.
It gives us purpose. There's a glory and a uniqueness in every single human being. God placed us in a world that's good and beautiful and is full of truth. And so when you begin to look, you look at that, obviously we will never experience that here in a broken world. But so when we begin to look at the whole issue of mental illness, we look at what's broken. You know, our relationships have become broken, our relationship with God because of sin, our relationship with one another. You just look at the curse, you know, all the things that happened, our relationship with our world. It's no longer good, beautiful, and true. It's been distorted. And so So I think that gives us a sense of...
It's a paradigm in a sense, right?
For, it is.
Yeah, you mentioned this, like men and women were created in the beginning is very good. No illness, no brokenness, no shame. There was harmony between the man and wife. There was beauty there. There was all of those things. And in some ways, that gives us a picture of a world with no mental illness, no mm-hmm. brokenness, no nothing mm-hmm. there. Mm-hmm. And that kind of is what I guess the human heart in some ways longs for, to go back to that pre-sin, pre-broken state. But okay, so then sin enters the world, you know, like that's a big piece of this. And I know there's kind of arguments out there that I've heard it said before that every mental health issue is a sin issue. And I don't know, what do you think about that? So tell us, Tom, why do you that one? You know?
I mean, come on, is every instance of, well, on the level that it's meant,
yeah,
then I would give the giant thumbs down, because what it often means is you're depressed because you've sinned,
right?
Or you've got bipolar because you're a sinner, or
you have anxiety because you don't trust God,
or your liver failed because yeah. But yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
On the other level. Well, yeah, there is a fall. And so like things like cancer exist. And so things like, histrionic personality disorder exists, mm-hmm. you know. But I think what it's often meant as is attributing fault.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
I think that's awful.
Totally.
Yeah. I think I heard somebody say that mental illness is common, real, nobody's fault, not a spiritual problem. Hmm. Treatable and is our teacher. Huh. And I like that, because we do live in a broken world. And
yeah.
so everything that's broken, yeah. I guess, can be traced back to the fact that God's original creation was broken when sin,
yeah.
when sin entered the world. But, you know, asking the question about where is God and how does the gospel speak into our brokenness is that God loves us.
Yeah.
He seeks us out. I mean, is that seen any more clearly yeah. in sending Jesus? He's the one who came to us. Mm-hmm. And what a picture of unconditional love and the fact that every life matters.
Yeah.
And every life has value.
Yeah.
And meaning and purpose. And so the gospel speaks a lot of hope
yeah,
into really, our brokenness.
It really does. Yeah. And so what is, I guess in a sense, what can we learn from mental health illnesses that help drive us back to the gospel then? What can we, I mean, can we in some ways find some redemption if we're a person that struggles with a mental health illness of some sort? Can we find some hope in the gospel from whatever we're struggling with on a regular basis? Or is it always some of those words that you used at the beginning, just so brutal, like you can't get past it? Is there a light at the end of the tunnel in a sense?
I don't know. Well, and Mary was referring to how it's treatable. So I think there's hope in the temporal sense mm-hmm. that there are some things that can be done, right? But if someone has enduring mental illness, that, you know, it may be something that ends up being a lifelong struggle
yeah.
that maybe never is completely eradicated. And so I think in some sense, just like people have to deal with terminal illnesses,
yep.
the hope ultimately of Christianity is the resurrection.
Mm-hmm.
And so there is ultimate hope. Temporal hope is another, you know, another thing, like in terms of, is there a change that's possible? Potentially, yeah. I mean, that's why we don't shy away from saying there may be some conditions that people experience mental illness where medication is a great help
mm-hmm.
And an aid, and they should not be made to feel less than because just get over it. It's just a mindset, whatever, you know, that type of thing. So
yeah.
there may be helps, right? Temporally, but our ultimate hope needs to be resurrection, right? Mm-hmm. In the hope of the gospel.
Which is a recreation, if you will, of right. the original state
right.
of what
where
we
God,
have.
God brings complete restoration.
Were you restoration. Say
something yeah, I think there's also, before resurrection, there's also redemption. And I think of a few people that I've known. One gal in particular, we'll call her D, who said that because of her mental health struggle, that God had made her a mourner and that she was especially sensitive to the sorrow of this world, mm-hmm. and that her gift to the church, although extremely painful, was that God could redeem her mental illness and lead the church in lament and sorrow over the way things are, which is the way things aren't supposed to be. Mm. And I think that surrender to Jesus in all that we do and all that we are and all that we have includes your mental illness. Mm-hmm. God is big enough to redeem even something as awful as that.
And can you explain what you mean by redeem?
Yeah. Take something bad and use it for good.
Sure. Great.
Yeah.
I like that.
He can use it.
And I think, you know, just the fact that mental illness is treatable. So God has made our bodies in amazing ways. You just start looking at some of the science now about the brain and neural pathways and just how the brain is always recreating itself.
Right.
You look at the understanding that we have that we can uncover because God made us in a certain way. I think, you know, without getting too quote-unquote spiritual about this, you know, when you have a physical disease, sometimes you alter your lifestyle because the physical disease means that you need to do that in order to function. And I think the same with mental illness. And it's not a bad thing.
Yeah.
It's, I mean, we're all broken and we all have to cope and find ways to function in the midst of however our bodies are broken. But I loved what Tom said because, you know, it's in those broken places and in those places of struggle that we really come to know who God is.
Yeah.
And it's a beautiful thing to have his glory and that knowledge shine out of that brokenness.
Yeah.
And so I think people who walk through mental illness struggles, I mean, I just look at their lives and I just think what courage it takes to get up every morning for some people and walk through their day. I was talking to someone who said, it is the exception if they wake up in the morning without having a panic attack.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
They wake up in a panic attack every morning. Mm-hmm. And so for them, there is a routine that they go through every morning to just deal with that anxiety. But yet they can walk alongside other people who are going through a difficult time in ways that others of us never could.
Yeah.
And they come to know the reality of God in ways in the midst of that, that others of us can't. So we can learn a lot from people who walk that path.
In so many ways, the people that are working through and with their mental illness are a gift to people that are watching and seeing how they're doing it and watching them live with, like you guys had both mentioned, it as kind of a debilitation on a regular basis. In so many ways, they're showing us the character of a person that is being transformed, sanctified, you know, built up through the life in Christ, even though they're struggling to even make it that day.
Mm-hmm.
And that is super compelling for those that are living in a world like that and can't get up without really struggling. And yet they get out of bed and they carry on. There's something absolutely compelling about that. Can we get a little more specific? We talked about the fall just a little bit here. And I wonder if we can spend just a couple minutes talking a little bit about that again. How has the fall actually infected our world so much and led to this mental illness? Like, what are the good things that God has created that have been affected by the fall, and how does that kind of play out in a person's life? And I don't think we need to diagnose right now. I just think we need to actually think about some of the ways that mental illness has actually come about through the just pure brokenness in our world. I don't know if you had some thoughts on that, or if any of y'all have thoughts on that.
Okay. Well, yeah, just just some, you think about all the emotions that entered the world after the fall. I mean, you have shame. You have hiding and feeling like you have to put on a protective front in order to face the world. You have blaming. You have fear. You have hiding. I mean, all those things were not the way we were meant to be. They take away from relationship. They take away from the life that God desires for us to know.
That's a good word. And so I suppose, in a sense, is this why, Tom, you brought up the idea of resurrection? Like, you know, if there's a, if there is these things that are brought into our world as the, infected our world that led to mental illness, we have the hope in the resurrection that actually changes that.
Yeah. And so I want to go back to what McGregor said, because I appreciate that he pointed out the word redeem, because God actually does redeem our pain. Like, I think one of the things I've learned personally through my own pain in life is that God doesn't waste any of it. If we are using that word surrender, if we are surrendered to him, he will put everything to work for our good, you know, in a Romans 8:28 kind of way, right? And so it's not to say, hey, well, just hang out until the resurrection and just maybe you'll make it, make it, you know, like, so, but so God does redeem our pain in the present tense. But if we are going to cling to something as an ultimate hope, it's resurrection when all will be healed. And that's just the hope. That's the hope of the gospel. And that is not a some ethereal sort of philosophical thing. It is a hope that the Bible portrays as what allows you to endure and persevere today. I mean, I'll tell you that when I'm reflecting on some of the stuff that I've gone through, and Paul says, I do not compare the sufferings of, you know, in the present day worth comparing to the glory that's going to be revealed to us. We're told that for a reason, so that we hang on, so that we endure. And then you keep going in Romans 8, and we're told that God redeems our pain. He's working all the things out for our ultimate good. That whole chapter is about the redemption of all of broken creation. We are longing for the redemption of our bodies, right? And so resurrection is our ultimate hope.
That's good. So then I guess we've visited that enough. What do we learn then about the hope of the gospel and God's provision for redemption and restoration then, using those words? You know, what is the gospel speaking to those things that a person out there can hear and say, yes, that is for me today?
You know, in the midst of mental illness, I think it's hard to think clearly. And so in the gospel, I think we have some things that we know for sure. Number one, that there is a God. And he is for us, and he loves us, and we matter to him. And I think sometimes we people find that hard to believe. But those are truths that you can go back to and count on. Even if you don't feel them, they are true. And it's a wonderful frame from which to base your life.
It's almost like one of the things that we need to remind ourselves on a daily basis, that God is good. God is, that he cares for me and loves me. And that's a, you know, if you can do things out of that knowledge, it changes the way you view the world. And you know, and I'm not discounting people who that can't get out of the fog in some ways, but if there's a way that you can certainly almost preach that to yourself, we talk about preaching the gospel to ourselves around here several times, and maybe Mary, you just brought up the foundational piece that God is good and God loves us. And that becomes a paradigm that we live our lives, you know? And that's pretty amazing.
Yeah, one of the things you said initially about mental illness is how isolating it is, and a lot of times it's difficult to get out of the fog, and it's difficult to get around other people, and some of that is because it's difficult to understand and difficult to explain, and when you're going through it, you don't want to have to explain. You just want somebody that'll understand. I think of all of the despair psalms. And how the psalmist like kind of preaches the good news to themselves, and that this models for us what it looks like to lament and to stay in conversation with God. But then also there's that community aspect of we actually need other people, and knowing that God is a part of that, that he is present in it and actually understands, right? Mm-hmm. In a really profound way. He's played the game by his own rules. I think Dorothy Sayers says that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I appreciate that you said the word community, because that's what I was thinking right before you said that, was one of the other things that we're given in the gospel is a family. Mm-hmm. You are saved into a people. It's not just an individual reconciliation with God. You reconcile to God and you are brought into his people. And so the church needs to be a body, a family that welcomes in people who are struggling as one of their own.
Yeah.
Right? Like if one of your kids, if you're married and you have kids, and has serious like mental health issues going on, you don't cast them out. You're trying to figure out, how do I help my child?
That's good.
Who I love. And so when someone walks into our, or comes into our community, they're part of Imprint Church or the body of Christ, then they should receive in the community a welcome and a sense of belonging, even though they know they are struggling with these things.
Yeah, and if you're listening and maybe you don't have any context to understand anything we're talking about, and this is more of an equipping thing, then my encouragement to you would be to focus less on making somebody explain so that you understand, and focus more on being that that non-anxious presence in their life that mm-hmm. just allows them the presence of the Lord through you, so that they're not alone.
Yeah.
I think the reality is that we are all broken and we all have struggles in our lives. Mm. And so it's not that someone has mental health issues and the rest of us are all doing great.
good word.
Yeah. And so, that we are all broken people.
Well,
and we are all dependent on God.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We just talked about mm-hmm. the comprehensiveness of the fall and what it did to humanity. Mm-hmm. I mean, you laid that out really well, and that's not theoretical, right? That affects our lives. And for mm-hmm. some people that permeates even deeper into deeper levels. And yet none of us can stand up and say, oh, that's just for that person over there. Like, there is a sense that all of us deal with fear and shame and hiding and all the things that kind of can get exacerbated, I suppose, with a mental mm-hmm. health illness of some sort. But I think if we're just being honest, we can say, man, I have that as well. I've struggled with that, or I've dealt with that. So go ahead.
I was just going to say, we're all walking the same journey.
Yeah.
And so, just being honest about that.
Yeah.
And allowing people to be where they are in the journey.
Yeah.
And just to be a presence in one another's life.
Yeah.
Because mm-hmm. we don't save anybody and we don't fix anybody.
Yeah. Yeah.
God is the one who saves, and it's his word and his spirit that are alive and active in us. As community, we can just come alongside and support and mm-hmm. love and be Jesus' hands and feet.
Good.
And voice. Yeah.
So we've talked about the effects of the fall. We've talked about the hope of God's restoration of all things, and the resurrection, and how that is something we can point to. I think what I think we should end on is just a few minutes on how right now our relationship, our reconciliation with God as being Christians, can actually affect our day-to-day lives as people, and in particular, people who are struggling with mental health struggles. Like, what does it mean right now, since we have a relationship with God? How does that help us live our lives each and every day, and still deal with mental health things that come up in our lives? But what hope do we have, you know, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, you know, type deal? Are there any thoughts on that before we close? Tom's like, nope.
Well, I think, you know, mental health, and I think everybody's experience of it is so different that it's really hard to answer that question.
Yeah, good.
Other than to know that God is there.
Yeah.
And, you know, for some, I think that looks different in different people's lives. Mm. But I think just, you know, coming to that basic fact that God is there, God is for you, God reaches out to you, that Jesus is at the right hand of the Father interceding for you.
Yeah, good.
that the Holy Spirit prays when even we don't mm-hmm. know how to pray.
Yeah, in Romans 8, the Spirit is interceding and Jesus is interceding.
Yeah. That's yes, really Hebrews 6 or 7.
Well, Hebrews 7, as well, yeah, but in Romans yeah. 8, you have both the Spirit interceding yeah. and the Son, Jesus, interceding.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
Which is beautiful.
So I had a good friend who once told me, we were talking about mental health issues and just really, really deep things. And she said, you know, sometimes all I can do is go before God and I'm quiet and I don't just sit in his presence and I don't even know how to pray, except I know that Jesus and the Holy Spirit are praying and all I say is amen, amen. And so I think, you know, even in the midst of really difficult mental health issues, you can know that God is there and he loves you.
Selah.
I can't think of a better way to end our time here than with those words. Again, our hope for this podcast is to kind of set the stage for the next couple we're doing and to really bring some awareness and some hope to those who, within the context of you might listen to this thing right now and you say, man, I have some mental health issues that I'm dealing with and I don't want to bring them out in front of the church or I'm trying to hide them or whatever. And I think part of what we're saying is don't hide, to be with the community, understand God's great love for you, understand the plan of restoration that God has in store for us, and to hold on to those things, those hopeful paradigms of the gospel are life-changing in so many ways. If you have questions or thoughts for us on this, please reach out, or even if you have comments this week, you can reach out at podcast@imprintchurch.org and share with us some things. We'd love to hear from you. And if you need help with any of this stuff, please reach out to us as well. We'd love to point you in the right direction. As we said before, none of us here are counselors or therapists or psychologists, but we know people and we would be glad to point you in the right direction. And so grateful for Mary to be here and her her wisdom and the things that she shared with us. Next week, we're going to cover and talk a little bit about depression and anxiety in terms of mental illness. So I hope you'll tune in. Thanks for being here this week. We'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening. For more information and resources from Imprint Church, you can download our app or head to imprintchurch.org.